Hey everyone, welcome to Smash Trivia. I'm your host, Smash Trivia John. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram by searching Smash Trivia to follow everything happening with me. I'll be the one with a big old green head in the profile picture, so excited to get into this. This is the Gamma Analysis. Basically, in this series, I'm going to review everything Hulk, all the movies, TV shows, and I also do random other geeky films. Occasionally not so geeky ones too, and I also like to mix things up once in a while by not reviewing anything. Hope you enjoy Smash Trivia Presents The Gamma Analysis. I want to ask everyone listening, if they can please do sign for me, please share the hell of this podcast with all your friends. If you don't, Hulk will be angry. Now that we have all of that important stuff out of the way, let's smash right into this episode. Hello, my Gamma friends. Today I'm joined by Nico from Pop Incursions. How you doing, Nico?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
I'm really happy to have you. We're going to be reviewing both of the 2000s and Fantastic Four films. So both all Fantastic Four from 2005 and Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer from 2007. I'm really excited to get into this. I love these movies so much.
Yeah, they're especially when you're able to look back at them, a lot of nostalgia.
Oh yeah, so this week was the first time I had watched them since I was a kid, and I expected they might not age well, but because I've heard so many people shitting on them. But I ended up absolutely loving them, again, just like I loved them as a kid, and I think they honestly hold up very well.
Absolutely, and especially you need to kind of remind people that, you know, given what year it was, and obviously what the quality of, you know, effects, CGI and stuff, it was actually brilliant to see what they were able to achieve.
One particular effect I've heard so many people complain about with this these films is Reed's stretchiness. I don't have any problem with how his stretchiness looks. I think it looks fantastic. Sure, there's a couple scenes where it looks a little bit animated, but that's it doesn't take me out of it at all.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. There are some moments, but for the most part, I don't have any issues, and it's still grounded enough for the most part that it's still believable. And it's certainly quite an achievement for the time that it was made, and I suppose as well, it was the first time that a Mr. Fantastic was being able to actually be on a film and with the accurate level to portray his powers, basically.
Oh yeah, another one on that particularly another use of this of CGI that I particularly was thinking about while watching this this week is I love how the Silver Surfer looks in the sequel. They did his CGI so well.
Yeah, he looks very cool, and obviously quite comic accurate. And it was only on these rewatchings for the first time in years and looking it up on like IMDb, but I didn't know that the person who played the Silver Surfer physically is different from the person who did the voice.
Oh yeah, the voice is done by Lawrence Fishburne, and the actor actually playing him, I'm pretty sure, is Doug Jones.
Yeah, and of course Lawrence Fishburne we've seen in Ant-Man and the Wasp, and our Goliath and What If as well.
Oh yeah, I think if we get to see this version of the characters back in Secret Wars, I hope that they bring Silver Surfer with them, since at the end of the second film, it is revealed that he is still alive.
Yeah, that's true. And I think they'll try their best to try and bring everybody back for that. And who knows as well, we could be seeing them sooner than later this summer
Oh
in
yeah.
Deadpool. We don't know how many
Definitely.
cameos we're likely to see there as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. And now I don't think that they're going to do this, but I honestly think for with the multiverse saga for the MCU, I think they should to really make it feel like the multiverse saga, there shouldn't only be films set in the MCU. I think they should also be, they should have like a third film for this Fantastic Four, or leading up to Secret Wars, having a third film for Nicolas Cage's Ghost Rider, and just giving at least a few like films that are set in those other universes, making it so that it really feels like they're are getting the whole potential of the multiverse saga, I think. I wish they would do that. I don't think that they will, but I think it would be really cool if they did.
Absolutely, and it's only fitting because of the multiverse saga. But it is, we haven't got any sort of, hints or inklings that they will do that. But I suppose what the closest thing to having a film that's not in our MCU is the next
Oh
Fantastic
yeah.
Four. That's obviously it's not official, but there's the whole they're in the 60s based on the Valentine's Day art. So does that mean, it's in our 60s, or are they in the 60s in a different universe?
I think there's a chance of a different universe, but I also think there is a chance that it's still supposed to be completely set in the MCU because it just happened to be the 60s that Doctor Strange mentioned in Multiverse of Madness of saying they charted in the 60s. So I feel like there's a chance they maybe a plan on setting that in the main MCU. And I'm and to be honest, like I don't see as I feel like they'll just say a that. Either like they went into the quantum realm or something, and like there've been many theories of, or simply that and the reason people haven't heard of them is like they've been in hiding, just like the X-Men and X-Men sign like that. I think just like with us, like people hadn't heard of Captain Marvel, but her film getting set in the 90s absolutely worked.
Absolutely. And I suppose that is the big question of, well, if it is in our MCU, then why haven't we seen or heard of them? And the same way other characters hearing or talking about them. And it is definitely it's something that the MCU likes to do to retcon things. I absolutely love when the MCU goes back in time and visits different periods, like in WandaVision, Captain Marvel,
Oh yeah.
and even though that episode in Loki season two. So I'm all here for them, part of the movie anyway, being set in the 60s. But yeah, that's the big question, is where have they been if they still are in our MCU?
Oh yeah. Definitely. I hope it's set in the 60s. It is mainly because I want a comic book film that has that aesthetic of retro comics, X, and I hope that they, if they do set in the 60s, I hope they really embrace the feel of those retro comics, where they're absolutely crazy, crazy, ridiculous, and fun, in the original Hulk comics, General Ross makes a missile that's shaped like Hulk. That's something that I love, that kind of I have campy, goofy feel that you only get from retro comics, and I want like that feel translated into a film. And I'm hoping that by them setting the Fantastic Four possibly in the 60s, we can get something like that.
I hope so. I hope so too. And I mean, well, we did see Herbie as well in that Valentine's, and the aesthetic was 60. So I'm hoping that, at least a decent proportion of the film is set in that time period so we can fully enjoy it and it's not just a quick visit. And the fact that the director is coming from WandaVision, and of course, WandaVision revisited different periods of time very, very well. So I think there's a lot of hope and potential for it to really come out of the park swinging.
Definitely. Well, let's get into these Fantastic Four films that are actually reviewing though. There's only a few things that I dislike out of these two films. Obviously, I've mentioned many times on Twitter that I believe that because of the fact that Ben Grimm is Jewish, he should be played by a Jewish actor. Or happily, finally, the MCU is actually going to have him be played by a Jewish actor. And then also for the first one to have the I wish the final battle were a little bit longer. And then for the second one, my only criticisms are the fact that Galactus is a cloud and that that they made it only an hour and a half long. I would have definitely wanted it to be at least 2 hours long.
Definitely, if you're going to include Galactus and tell that story, you need to commit. And yeah, I think the lack of him and him just being a cloud, I mean, we get one or two shadows, but we never properly see.
And honestly, one thing that I appreciate so much with the sequel is I honestly think it might be the most ambitious is 2000 superhero film. Like, there's not a whole lot of other ones that I tried to go that comic booky and like having Silver Surfer and Galactus and combining the characters' powers together. Like, that is so much more crazy than anything else I've seen out of 2000s in superhero films.
Definitely. And that, and Johnny being able to have all their powers gave me a huge Super Skrull vibe. And even from aesthetically as well. And I also love that they had the Fantastic Four car and they brought that into it, which is definitely ambitious for that time period.
So I'm someone who has actually seen the unreleased 90s Fantastic Four film, and they have the Fantastic Car on or in that as well. But what makes it so much better within the this one versus the 90s one is it actually has a reason for being there. They have they show that that he that may that at the start of the film with them having trouble with the airplane and he show they show that him having it sent to them to get them a ride versus it's weird with the 90s one as literally it's just one scene and they are trying to get out of Latveria and then the next scene they are flying around in the Fantastic Car and there is no explanation for where they got the Fantastic Car because they before being locked up in Latveria they did not have it.
I haven't seen the 90s one, but I do I appreciate in the Rise of the Silver Surfer, especially they have incorporated Latveria, although given what happens to Doctor Doom, and of course a third one wasn't made, so we don't truly know his fate. If it doesn't feel like, we got to really explore Latveria enough as well. It was very, very brief.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely we should have gotten more of Latveria. And like that's another thing that that if Marvel were to give them a third film leading up to the Secret Wars, I would definitely want them to explore more of Latveria and like give Doom like a really comic booky looking a throne room and just make it be a balls to the wall all craziness. I would absolutely love that. I really love though how they did Doom in these two films. So I think he really feels like how I would want Doom to feel, and just like the rest, like the Fantastic Four, or where I absolutely love their casting as well. They all feel like their characters, and they have such great chemistry with each other. The banter between them is absolutely perfect.
Definitely, and I really appreciate the complex relationship between the Thing and Johnny Storm. And I have to say, Chris Evans did a very good job with this
Oh
role.
yeah.
And it's he could play I not exactly the opposite, but very close to being the opposite of what he obviously played Captain America with. But he can play both really, really well, and it's very believable, especially if you're someone who would have seen Captain America first and then gone back to watch Fantastic Four, you'd still be able to detach him and accept him as Johnny Storm.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think for Fantastic Four, even though I'm happy that like the MCU is doing a movie for them, I kind of wish we could get like a live action TV show of them, because I love because I want more of their interactions that are just like hanging out at the Baxter Building, and like they did those interactions so well in this like Johnny pranking and the Thing with having shaving cream or whipped cream as I put his face, and like I want to see more of that, and I honestly I feel like just how a lot of the MCU films are, I expect we're not going to get much of that within in the MCU film version, which makes me really wish that we could have gotten it as a TV show to make it so we could get a lot more of those moments.
Yeah, I think that would be a very interesting way to tell stories with the Fantastic Four, but it certainly allows for a lot more of the more chill vibes, like I suppose that scene in Ultron where they were all just hanging out after the party. We don't get enough of them in the films.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like that's one of the things that I absolutely love so much about the Marvels film, is that we got scenes of them just hanging out as they were training and on Carol's ship, and those moments, it's really humanized the characters in ways that just showing them in action doesn't do.
Absolutely. And it also makes it more believable that they are spending time together, that they have relationships with one another, instead of only showing up to get the job done and then all going their separate ways.
Oh yeah, it's like I see when Marvel announced back in like 2021 or something that the next Avengers film would be Kang Dynasty. I immediately was like, no, why can't we go back to something smaller so that you can spend more time on the relationships of the characters and not just be they're coming together because the fate of everything is a threat. And it's like, because we need to establish all these relationships before we have something like that.
Absolutely. And it also, by making that the first time post end game that they do assemble, also, gives more the impression that they don't care as much if the stakes aren't that bad. Oh, well, someone else can deal with it, that type of thing. Where, yes, it should be on a smaller level and allowing them to establish relationships with one another.
Oh yeah. I love with the first Earth Fantastic Four film how for doing their origins and on the ship They right after they got the blast, as they teased every one of them's powers except for Ben's, and I think that was a really good choice to make it so you could have that have the reveal later of him walking out of the shadows and taking his hat off to show us the how Ben Grimm looks as the thing.
Yeah, it was when they were getting their powers and they were, showing us basically. It was also a bit comical with the poses and just, the style it was filmed. But yeah, no, they did a good job at leaving more time for the viewer to wonder, well, what happened to him? Is he affected or not? And I have to say that scene where he's waking up in Switzerland in that medical facility and Johnny is playing with him about the mirror is brilliant.
Oh yeah, that was it's absolutely hilarious. The I love one moment before they actually all got their powers that I really love is when as Johnny is driving up to the up to join them at the space station, and they're and Reed and Ben are watching him, and all of a sudden it's a and Ben's like, I can't do it. I can't. I can't take like orders from the underwear model. Reed, he's like, when have I ever asked you to do something you said you absolutely cannot do? He's like, five times. Like, I love that scene.
Yeah, and it already sets up that interesting relationship between him and Johnny. But yeah, and it's such a nice dynamic that the Thing and Mr. Fantastic have together as well, because it definitely comes across both as a friendship and as a colleague kind of working relationship as well. And I thought that was nicely done.
Oh yeah. Oh, one thing that I've seen a lot of people complain about over the years is the fact that they made jokes with Sue Storm of having of where she had to take her clothes off to get invisible. And I'm like, and watching it like again now as an adult, I'm like, those are just funny. Those are I found those I think those are funny moments, and like I don't think they're trying to be one-sided sexist about it, as the men show just as much skin as she does, as if not more in these films.
Definitely Johnny, for sure.
And you know, also with Ben when he loses his powers as in the first one.
Yeah,
I think.
definitely. But I don't think we'd see scenes like that anymore, with Sue having to take her clothes off, and then when
Oh yeah,
obviously
obviously.
she's not invisible anymore, having to.
Yeah, I we obviously wouldn't see a sign like that anymore, but I don't think it's something that people really should be really need to put down the film for or those scenes, because I think that's a really great a funny way to be able to make a joke based off her powers ours and they obviously were not just trying to be sexist and sexualize eyes just her since they are since the male characters are also sexualized eyes and honestly I think for a 2000 superhero film they do pretty great at female empowerment with Sue in these is as a lot of the other ones they made it so the women end up being damsels in distress and as versus this there are never moments where she feels like a damsel in distress.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think as well, it's also, you wouldn't think of that being an issue with her powers, that, oh wait, the clothes don't, turn invisible either. So it also actually serves why they need to wear their suits, because they're compatible with their powers. I do think that, and I seem to remember it more, I think, in the second one, but any time they wanted to be in scientist mode, like read, they'd put on like a very narrow pair of glasses and a dress, obviously showing cleavage and body. And those were the moments for me that I was like, okay, this feels a little bit more sexual, rather than the powers with the clothes, because that actually sets up something.
Oh, yeah.
But as well, I suppose that's also the time that they were in, and how a lot of the time women were treated in films.
I think my biggest problem I would have with how they did, they treated Sue in this, is that is I feel like they weren't aren't willing to let Jessica Alba just look like Jessica Alba because they because it definitely feels like they put makeup on her to make her look whiter, if that makes sense. Like
Yeah,
it
no,
was
definitely.
I would love if she just got to look like how she looks in real life. It's honestly a little bit weird where the choice to make her to put makeup on her to make her look whiter, cause or to appease the people who don't like race swapping characters.
Yeah, and I think as well that goes back to, the time that the movie was filmed. But with the multiverse saga and the high likelihood of us seeing those characters again in the multiverse, perhaps a variant of herself will look more lifelike and less whitewashed.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely, and I'm excited for or hopefully getting something like that. Especially since I've heard out of all of the 2005 X-Men character or not X-Men the Fantastic Four characters, Sue seems to be the most likely one to possibly show up in Deadpool and Wolverine, and from what I've heard, I bet the Ryan Reynolds is not going to have them put that makeup on her again.
No, probably not. Although the one thing is, you still have to make it so the audience will recognize who she is and recognize what they're referring to. So I suppose there's a little bit
Well,
of a tough line.
I think what they literally all they'll do to make sure that the audience knows it's hers, put her in the same suit as when is from the 2000s films. And they should
Yeah,
not
or
recognize her
just
from
have
that.
another. Have one of the other members of that X-Men of the Fantastic Four film also appear with her, and then there'll be no issues.
Definitely. Which I would love to get any of the others with her as well. I want to see them all come back. If we If we're only able to get two of them, I'll be happy to see whatever two they get.
Definitely. And here's the interesting question. Would Chris Evans come back to play that variant in the MCU, or would he be like, no, I want to not mess anything up?
I think he would be happy to come back as that and I think he would be absolutely down for them to make jokes about the fact that he played both Johnny and Steve. I think he would absolutely be down. He seems like he's a very he's very happy to do things to make the fans happy able when it comes to Marvel stuff or really anything else in his career.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I do think when it's in a more comedically inclined project, Marvel is very comfortable with doing that. Because, I mean, in She-Hulk, we had that reference to Bruce being a different Bruce, which was quite big, actually, for the MCU to recognize, a recast. So, but of course, that was in a comedic setting. And of course, Deadpool loves his comedy. So I think it's definitely possible.
Oh yeah, definitely. I love with the sequel of with having the that they keep having trouble getting getting their wedding to happen,
Yeah.
happen of Sue and Reed's wedding. I thought that was a great touch, and though I think they should have had at the end of it, instead of just having Reed and Sue get married, I think they should have had Ben and Alicia join them up there and do a double wedding. I think that would have been great.
Absolutely. And I have to say, I think Ben and Alicia's relationship is the one I like the
Oh
most
yeah,
in
I
the
love them.
film.
I love their relationship. I hate that Ben's previous girlfriend just as freaked out when she saw him, and then the next day decided I'm gonna go just drop the ring in front of him right after he just did something heroic. Like, man, that's shitty of her.
Well, I mean, for some people, it's very superficial. But I suppose in a way, it's also a blessing in disguise
Oh
because,
yeah.
you know, that's not what you want the foundation of a long-term relationship to be on. So it's in a way he dodged a bullet for later down the line.
Definitely. Definitely. But yeah, I just like you, I loved his relationship with Alicia in these films. And she was a great voice of reason in the second one when Ben and Johnny are mad about the fact Reed and Sue possibly leaving the team. Yeah, there's all a lot of greatness from them.
Yeah, but I have to say, in those moments, especially considering Johnny heard the full story, you would think they'd be more understanding. And as well, it's not like, you know, they were doing anything behind their back. It was just we're having a conversation, and it's how dare you didn't tell me straight away, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think what else do I want to talk about? I thought it was a hey, really cool decision to have have for the final fight in the sequel that Dr. Doom steals the Silver Surfer's board. I think that was a great way to tie things back together with the first one and actually have a villain for them to be able to fight since they obviously would not have been able to fight Galactus if he got to Earth. Oh yeah.
Definitely, definitely. And it's a creative choice as well because you wouldn't really think so much about the board, you'd think more about the Silver Surfer himself. But I have to say, it really, when they brought him to that Siberian military base, it really kind of, if you actually look at it and think of, you know, real life, that's probably how they would, you know, act if that happened. And as the gentleman that was there to do all the torture said, you know, there's things I'm not allowed to do because they're human rights violations, but you're not a human. And one thing that superhero movies most of the time get quite correct and do quite well is, you know, authorities, how they would act in the situation, and, you know, making that part as realistic as possible.
Oh yeah, definitely. In those scenes, something I thought was really cool was how they had him had the surfer or show Sue his backstory. Like I thought it was really cool how they had his stomach open up and like the CGI for that looked really good, and it's surprisingly I think well for something like that. You really feel for the character with those scenes.
Absolutely, and it really humanizes him, even though he's not a human. And yeah, for the time it was made, the CGI for that looked quite good, and it helps, obviously, you know, the audience and the characters understand more, make him more vulnerable, and have, you know, compassion and empathy for him. And you know, because it is Although it does come down at the end of the film to everyone has a choice, in his mind up until then, he doesn't have a choice, and it's not him that's doing it, it's the one he serves.
Definitely. One thing I would really like to mention, just because he appears in this film, rest in peace to Andre Braugher, who played the general in the film. And just like with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he does an absolutely fantastic job in this role. And it's sad to see him not be a part of this world anymore.
Absolutely, and he would, I believe that he would be a part of it, you know, in either, you know, Deadpool, Wolverine, and Secret Wars, if he, if obviously he was with us.
Oh yeah, definitely. Let's see. I love that they had during the wedding scene at the beginning, the first wedding scene, as the helicopter's crashing through, because Alicia's blind, she doesn't see that it's about to hit her, and Ben comes and and grabs the end of the helicopter for her. I thought that was a really well done moment.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you definitely are with them with the adrenaline and the worry, but thankfully Ben does his job.
Oh yeah, one thing I was thinking about watching both films, and happily they did get they. Sorry, started with having a bit of this within the second film. Whenever Ben goes to a restaurant or bar, I think honestly that honestly these places should get some reinforced cups and plates and bowls and stuff just in case he comes in. And like I anywhere across the country, I think would be they should do that because like yeah, it might be a little bit more expensive for them to get those reinforced things, but the amount of people that will come in just because they served a celebrity will make it worth it.
Yeah, that's true actually. And it's nice that he also gets to, you know, transition into the celebrity, considering the really tough time he had in the beginning of the first film, trying to just even exist among society looking the way he does. And I liked the scene on the plane as well when he was like, "Oh, that's my sea."
Yeah, like I feel like if you have the Fantastic Four purchase tickets to be on your plane, they should not be the ones that you're bumping to coach. To like and particularly not Ben, because you need because he needs his space if he's gonna be on a plane.
Absolutely, absolutely. Not a smart move for that airline.
And obviously their problem with the airline was line is a big reason why Reed decided to make the Fantastic Arm, at least I'm assuming they didn't actually say that in the film, but I think it's pretty obvious that that was a big part of reason why. I love when they are watching the footage of Doom with the surfer, and Ben's just like, I love the part where he hits you. Like, that was really hilarious to me.
Yeah, one thing, and I know, you know, he's Doctor Doom, but I was still like, how the hell does he have access to all the US military, you know, satellites and things like that? Obviously, he's very resourceful, but I was like, you know, it's not like they showed us or explained to us how he was able to get that.
One thing as well that they did not show us that I think they really should have is how did he come back act after what happened to him in the first film? Because I don't think they explain that well.
No, and considering that they took a very big you know, scene to try and explain to us in the first film of, well, what happens to metal, and then him saying what happens to rubber and things like that. So they're trying to explain to us scientifically of what they're doing, but then in this film, when he reappears, there's no attempt at any explanation. Although in the last film, when he was being put on the boat to Latveria, when they closed the crate, I think one of the guys' phones or something kind of started glitching, and that was like a hint that he still was alive under that.
They definitely hinted to it a bit, but they didn't really show anything. According to the director, I believe it was from his commentary track for the film, he said that that what brought him back was that the electricity surge from from when one of the surfers' trips around the planet, which maybe, but I think they should have told us that actually in the film, but they obviously didn't,
Yeah.
and sadly. It reminds me similarly of the of Superman, and from the end of Batman v Superman, and then and either version of Justice League. Yes, they teased it in the ending, in the ending of the film, with having the dirt rose up, but then in the next film, that dirt rising up had nothing to do with him coming back at all. So
Yeah, I think they're the little things that get overlooked sometimes when they're making, the next sequel or project. In fairness, it is, I suppose, it is a big task for them to try and make sure the continuity all adds up. But when it's something as important as that, then yeah.
I remember before the Snyder Cut came out, like fans were like, "Oh, it'll be explained better in the Snyder Cut." And then the Snyder Cut came, and it was the exact same explanation as in the Joss Whedon cut of the Justice League film. Like, yeah, no, that doesn't really work between films.
No.
Let's see. The I they had it was when they have that Johnny decides to go out to a motorbike event. I really enjoyed that in the first film, and then I thought it was a funny I touch with the afterwards, when Ben punches him. So he gets punched into this Burger King sign, and it says flame grilled like Whopper sign, and then and because of him and being Human Torch, there's now flames on the Whopper.
That's some good marketing, thanks to Ben slash Johnny.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Another kind of fight between teammates I really enjoy is when they really showed off Reed's power, as well as he fought Ben is Ben was angry that he had been spending so much time with Sue. I think that was it was really well done how Reed tried to contain him.
Yeah, and I think that, and then in the second one, where he was trying to keep the London Eye together, is probably the two best examples of what he can do with his powers. But going back to Ben in the first film, I do think when I see the scene of Victor with him, and clearly Victor's, manipulating him to turn on Reed and ex say yes to Victor using the machine. I did think, like, what this guy's all about. Would it really be so easy for him to manipulate him, despite, everything we had witnessed up to that, I don't think Ben is that naive.
Yeah, I can see that. It's He should not be willing to go along with Victor so well. With both the two final fight scenes, I really love is there is how they use the team members' powers working together. I think they in both films it's done really well and in very and in unique ways, so it doesn't just feel like they're doing the same thing twice. I thought that it was great touches for both of the films for how they did that.
Yeah, and it's always really, cherry on top when they can, use everyone else's different powers to actually work together. And I personally, I think I prefer the way they do it in the first film, because that it is everyone, whereas obviously towards the end of the second, it's mostly Johnny
And
doing it for them.
I definitely agree, but I think the way that they did it in the second film of having it all be Johnny, it was a cool way to differentiate it with from the first film. But yeah, and then they also had them working together with their powers with the Ferris wheel scene in earlier in the second film, and I thought that was great too. It was really cool, I think, seeing Reed with Johnny's powers, because he used them in a way that Johnny probably would never have used to save the Ferris wheel. I would definitely agree though that I like better how they did it in the first film of them using their powers together. And like things like how they use their powers in all of the fight scenes, and one of the things that one thing that I really I think feels so comic booky about these films, and I love that aspect of them. And sometimes I'm put in more modern superhero films, it doesn't always feel as comic booky the way the characters use their powers. But within these early 2000s films, they really go there and make them feel absolutely comic booky, and that's how I love of superhero films feeling.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I do think we're kind of, we're kind of back to, it's kind of like we went over a bridge where, it was comic booky, then it was let's adapt it to as much as we can to real life, and now I feel like at the current, era that we're getting to a nice in between where they're committing, as much as possible to the comic books while still trying to be realistic, but it's not so necessary to be realistic as much as, in the beginning.
Definitely. I think the fact that that superhero films are becoming again less of a general audience thing, I think is going to make it so they're more willing to do those things, versus like in the last decade of superhero films, they were absolutely general audience was watching all of them. So so they wanted to make them more things that the general audience is gonna just is gonna be have ma say it makes sense. If it not sounds right, I think.
Yeah, but I think as well though, if I don't think people are, going into, cinemas and thinking, well, this isn't, possible realistically or scientifically, but obviously you still want it to be somewhat grounded and relatable to the real world. But yeah, no, definitely we're now at a point where it's much more accepted to be more comic accurate than realistic.
Definitely. And and like I think we're getting back to a lot of people like I like to complain about the MCU's suits for characters, and well, I was not among those complainers. I've always liked how the MCU suits were. I do like it more that we are now going towards more comic booky looking suits with brighter colors, like both with Deadpool's new suit in the next film, and Daredevil's new suit in the for the Daredevil Born Again show. Like, I love that vibrant and brighter red so much more than the dark red that they did for the Netflix suit. Like, it just feels so much more comic booky to me.
Absolutely, and it is something that it just you know it feels more special, less generalized, and it helps it helps us feel obviously they're the same characters, but it really helps us feel like they've come off the page and into onto the screen. So it's absolutely, especially with Daredevil, although I will also say I loved the She-Hulk version as well.
Oh yeah, that was a great suit as well, yeah.
I do hope we see him at least in it one more time, but I know some are saying that the Daredevil Born Again series is taking place before She-Hulk. Now,
I don't
that's
know.
not confirmed,
It
but it's like, oh, okay, maybe that's why.
I don't know where exactly that's taking place. I'm pretty sure some of it will take place during the snap, but I'm not I don't I would not expect that all of it is, especially since they set up Kingpin trying to be mayor in the in Echo, and I'm pretty sure that's going to continue on into Daredevil Born Again.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's definitely going to be in part of it. But I suppose as well, because it's two seasons, one can be before and one can be, the
Oh, true.
most recent. Because like for me, I'm like, okay, so he got on a plane and flew to LA from New York to LA for a suit that he wore once, as we know. So
No. Oh yeah. And I hope for whatever this new the reason for this new suit it is in Daredevil Born Again, I hope that they either bring back his the person who made his suits in the Daredevil series of Melvin, I think was his name, or bring back Luke Jacobson from She-Hulk.
I'm biased, but I'd love to see Luke Jacobson again. But yeah, no, as long as it's either or,
Oh yeah, and I think like the part of the reason why he went with Luke Jacobson during She-Hulk is because, if I remember right, from the end of the Daredevil old Netflix show, I think Melvin went to prison if in that, so it makes sense why you'd have someone different. I also think it'd be cool if at some point they have Melvin and Luke Jacobson work together on something. I think that would be really cool to see.
Yeah, no, that would definitely be very cool and interesting as well, because I feel like
Yeah,
they've
they
got
have.
very different styles to
Oh yeah,
approach it.
definitely. Like, I it would have to be like a very special occasion where like they where Daredevil needs a very specific a suit, so they or he's gonna or it's gonna easily get destroyed by some eye villain, and so they are forced to work together. But and I think it would be funny to see their a how annoyed they get at each other trying to make a suit.
Yeah, it would definitely have to be one can't do it without the other, because I can't see them naturally
Oh yeah, nah.
wanting to work together, so it would definitely have to be they need each other.
I feel like if Luke Jacobson met Melvin and it was in a situation where they did not need each other, he would call Melvin a street rat, probably.
That would definitely be one of the many names he would have.
Yeah.
I mean, poor Jen got like what the Shrek, Buffalo,
Oh
to
yeah,
name a few.
she had a lot of nicknames from Luke. Is there anything else that we should talk about with these early 2000s Fantastic Four films?
One thing actually, their suits. I think it's
Okay.
very interesting that they actually originate from Victor, and then they make their own personalizations to it. And it's a bit like Reed wasn't able to make this, even though he's been trying. Well, Victor has, and that's a little bit, doesn't sound quite right considering who Reed is,
Yeah.
So that was interesting. And I think as well, we don't expect to see the origins in the upcoming one, but I do like how their space station kind of echoes Saber a little bit. And that I had a little bit of, oh, that looks the same.
Another thing that like echoes sign for I within the MCU is I think the way that the top of the Baxter Building looks reminds me both of Avengers Tower and also the lab where Captain America got his powers.
Yes, now that you say that, I can see the Avengers Tower, but yeah, with Captain America as well. There was something else actually that I think was in the first film, and it was a proper callback that was in an MCU film, and that called back to it, but now I'm trying to remember what it was.
Not sure.
I must try find out.
Honestly, I feel like these films could have easily fit into the continuity of the early MCU. Like they really do have a similar feel to a lot of the early MCU films. And I love that about them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, particularly because this happens, obviously, it came out before Iron Man. It would be very easy to slot them in
Oh
and say it happened just beforehand.
yeah. Like I could
But
absolutely see these in the same world as the first Avengers film. Like they feel like they could though they could connect so well together. Obviously with how much has happened in the MCU now, I don't think they could fit into it now, but had they decided to make them canon back then, it would I think it absolutely could have fit.
definitely, definitely. I think it was still, the whole Fox rights thing. But yeah, if they were able to, it would definitely slot in nicely and still be able to make sense.
Oh yeah. Oh. And something that I was thinking about I really like is Reed's personality in these. Particularly with the second one, though I liked him in the first one as well, but in the second one, you really get some of that douchiness that he has in the comics, and you can see how sometimes he can be a little bit much and could possibly go into a slightly villainous side at times, and I'm just like. I particularly would he really with like how in the second one he made a point to only to tell the general about his intelligence and his levels and I was like that things like that just as really make me think of the of how the how he was in the comics.
Yeah, definitely in the second one you can definitely feel it. I think in the first they were probably just concerned with making sure that he was portrayed as the
Definitely.
hero, but definitely in the second one you feel that for sure.
Oh yeah. Another thing I want to bring up that I think is really cool is, both the actor playing Dr. Doom and the actor who played his assistant in the first film have now went on to play a roles in Marvel TV shows. Since and as. The actor who played a Doom in these two films is a villain in the Runaways TV show, and the actor who played his assistant is in a Marvel show that I've actually recently started watching for the first time, which is is Legion.
Legion. I haven't seen that, but it rings a bell. And I haven't actually seen Runaways either. But I have a very long list
Oh,
of
just terrible.
rewatching this year, especially. But it's nice to see, actors being able to, and I mean, look, if you look at Eben Moss Bacharach, who's going to be the thing, he was in The Punisher.
Oh yeah, definitely. And they also had from the original like 90s unreleased Fantastic Four, the actor who played Reed in that, if I remember right, he also appears as a character in Agents of Shield. So it's always cool when you get to see a older Marvel actors get to play characters in newer things.
Definitely. And in one way or another, they could explain them being variants, loosely.
Oh yeah, the character that the original Reed played in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is like, if I remember right, it's a president from like the 40s or something. And so they could say that there's a universe where that president is the grandfather of author of Reed Richards, which I could absolutely see there
I've
being a comic
actually,
that being a thing.
yeah, and it's just when you said that, I could see a universe where Reed is the president.
Oh yeah.
Although, whether he'd be also for all the political competition, but I think he'd be a good president if he got into
Probably.
office.
Probably. He
Because
he would.
obviously, in What If, we saw Steve Rogers doing the oath to become president.
Oh
So it's
yeah. I
possible,
could.
maybe
Yeah,
in the What If
definitely.
series.
Definitely. I hope that at some point in the future we start getting Fantastic Four characters appearing in What If. If I've heard that I heard that in What If season 3 we might start getting X-Men characters in there, which would be really cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I want to see, is it pre-joining the X-Men or post-joining the X-Men that we might see? And with X-Men 97, actually, apparently that's not a part of the MCU canon. That's separate, which I find surprising because you think they'd blend it in like everything else. Like into the multiverse.
I feel like it's probably canon to the multiverse, but it's just that they just when the writers said that it's not connected, they in particular meaning it's not connected to the main timeline, which is kind of an obvious thing. It wouldn't have been connected to the main timeline. Did you find what you were looking for? You said there was a quote or sign for that referenced these Fantastic Four in the MCU.
No, unfortunately not.
Okay, well.
But it was like if you see it was a direct call to something in the MCU, but
Interesting.
I can't
I
remember
don't.
what it is.
Whatever. I do know there is and this is obviously because of the fact that Chris Evans played the Human Torch, but you see the original old android version of the Human Torch briefly in Captain America: The First Avenger, which would definitely be a
Wow.
callback to this. All right, so I think that's about everything to really say about these films. So I'm winding this down on. Thanks for coming on Nico. I loved having you on. This is a lot of fun, and it was great getting to talk about these Fantastic Four films that I absolutely love of and you're welcome to come on again anytime. And I look forward to coming on your YouTube channel, which everyone. And please check out the Pop Incursions YouTube channel. If you like my style of content of where I'm a very positive person about Marvel stuff, you'll probably enjoy his content too. He has a lot of fun stuff on there, so definitely check him out. Is there any final things you'd like to say before I end this off?
Well, thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And yes, definitely, I look forward to having on the channel. And it's always just nice to be able to talk about, the things that we enjoy, and all things Marvel.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's a big part of our lives. All right, so thank you everyone for listening. If you like this gamma analysis, please give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or a 5-star rating on Spotify. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the episodes. Please let me know. And if you'd like to listen to more from me, please subscribe. Many more gamma analysis from me coming, so keep on the lookout. This again is your host, Smash Trivia John, signing off.